She walks in beauty like the night of cloudless climes and starry skies, and all that's best of dark and bright, meet in her aspect and her eyes. Right, that'll do.
Ladies and gentlemen, we couldn't have asked for a more suitable guest to open our new semi-exotic food department.
Go too bad this afternoon. A couple of the older ones got a bit carried away, but you get used to it. It's the timbre of my voice, you see. Sends ripples through them. I've seen a few jiggling. And it's a lovely bit of writing, that. She walks in beauty. Bloody lovely. No slip-ups either. That's the hardest thing, you see, learning the poems. You got to learn the poems before you can perform them. Before you can even try to recite them. And they're long, some of them buggers. But it's all up here now. Not much room for anything else, to be honest. And you wonder what'll happen when you've no need to call on it anymore. Whether I'll end up like some old drunk staggering around the village, yelping out lines at innocent bystanders. And now I'm in the world alone, upon a wide, wide sea. But why should I, for others groan, when none will sigh for me? Johnny was there again, at the back of the crowd, staring at me through the entire recital, coughing at the good bits and laughing when the scissors didn't work. If he ever stays around long enough after a show, he's going to get a right good hiding. He thinks he's putting me off, but he isn't. It just makes me more determined. He wouldn't understand the work I put in. 2 hours last night I spent working on my galloping rhythm. He could never do what I do. He was always a bit slack. As far as he was concerned, all you had to do was put on your suit and your shades, and that was that. And I'm making sure that I enjoy this year, because I've got a funny feeling about it. 36, you see. The same age. I mean, granted, I'm not planning to head over to Greece to take up arms. But when you've been putting in the hours as England's greatest romantic poet, then you begin to ponder about things like this. You start drawing comparisons. He married a mathematician. Karen works at the bookies. He thought very highly about his pooch. And if I don't take our Teresa up to the lagoons for her evening walk, then my dreams are vicious. Anyway, 4 years is enough. And it's always a good thing to leave in your prime. Because I've got the knack now, all right. And it's been a struggle. I wasn't really ready for it in the first year. It was a bit premature. And the incumbent had it all. The looks, the air, went both ways, if you know what I mean. Which didn't go down too well with the old guard of the committee. But my dad was driving me on. He loved poetry, you see. He used to write these long, romantic things to the Evening Post, which they always print up in an edited version, so they make no sense and cause them to sulk for days. He was a dreamer, forever sneaking into the Abbey in the dead of night and diving bare-arse naked into the lake. I'm going to swim the Hellespont one day, like Byron, like Leander, he kept saying. Not with a bloody cough like that, he wouldn't. This village owes a lot to Dad. He could see it. He could see the way out of the mess we were in. And he wanted me to be a part of it, stuffing me full of lines from Sardanapalus whenever we were playing snooker and managing to clear me out of a few bob at the same time. You'll be all right, he kept saying before the competition. Just enjoy those words, son. The standing Byron had a nightmare. I think he'd had an argument with his girlfriend and hit the booze. He belched his way through the first stanza of Childe Harold's Pilgrimage, threw back his ringlet locks in defiance, and then farted. Very loudly. Poor bloke. He left the village after that, shouting from the train that we were nothing but a sorry bunch of ungrateful sods and that it was off to enter a phase of frantic sexual promiscuity in Venice. And I won. It was a lovely moment, to be honest, because I could see that my dad had a tear in his eye. They wouldn't let on, of course. A psalter taking on the prestigious role of Lord Byron of Newstead Village. Charity functions, the prize givings, opening supermarkets and calling the Christmas bingo at the community centre. And it's been a privilege to serve through these years. The golden age, as we call it round here. Rejuvenated we are. You can see it in the step. Ever since the village decided that heritage was the answer, we haven't looked back. For years and bloody years after the pitch show, everyone walked around as though they'd eaten a dicky chop, a bit stooped, like their guts were playing up. And the colour of their skin went downhill. I mean, your miners used to have pasty skin, but it was a kind of healthy pasty. But this wasn't. It was like a plate of half-chewed mince. And folk got very short with their tempers, sat in front of their tellies, boiling up inside like a load of human tea urns. That's all you could hear some afternoons if you walked along the street. Daytime telly. But it's all like the calm before the storm, you know, a bit ominous-like.
Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome on stage the Blues Brothers!
That's when Johnny and I really started to get cracking. We weren't going to let ourselves go down the pan, and neither of us had any luck with other pits or fancy taxi driving. So we went for the Blues Brothers act, because Johnny's a fattish lad and I'm quite tall, and we used to do a bit of singing down the welfare, which always went down all right. They were good times for us. Even though the village was suffering, and some of the clubs we played were bloody mad. One time, we turned up late at this place because Johnny's wife had broken her arm fiddling with a cat flap. And when we got there, the club owner had panicked and got another Blues Brothers act in. Well, we weren't going to stand for that because we needed the money and we'd travelled a fair distance. And these other lads, well, they weren't ready to call it a day either. So we ended up doing our sets together. The place went absolutely bonkers. As soon as we started, Everybody Needs Somebody, the bottle started flying and their Elwood got hit in the face. And Johnny and their Jake leapt into the audience to have a go back. You've never seen anything like it, worse than crossing a bloody picket line. We had to call it a day a couple of weeks after that. I'd just got the barring job and, well, you can't do two things at the same time. I'd have been undermining myself. Johnny was furious when I told him. His wife's arm had only just come out of plaster. And 2 days later, it was back in again. No one really asked, but we all had our suspicions. We didn't see him for a good while after that. He even packed in the dominoes. I missed it, really. And I missed Johnny. Because we've been mates since we were little kids, sipping cokes down the welfare while our fathers played darts and laughed like lions, playing cricket and football together, going out with the same girls, starting at the pit, just after Maggie won again. And then there were the Doms. The old boys couldn't believe it, like Toshack and Keegan, they'd say, or Torval and Dean, depending on whether they were the ones being beaten. We won the trophy for 6 years running, and I swear that when we were finally beaten, there was some funny business going on with their fag smoke, exhaling through a particular nostril to get an end closed off and that sort of thing. We had a right punch up after that. I ended up wearing my Elwood shades all week. But I put it all behind me. This was a chance to be part of something that really looked as though it might pull the village round. Because it was obvious no one was going to earn a living making chocolate novelty products round Summers and all the other half-cocked enterprises round here. You've seen more life in the back end of an abattoir I mean, you just look over at Eastwood and their D.H. Lawrence theme park. 5,000 applicants they had for the gamekeeper. And how they got Glenda Jackson to open it, I'll never know. I mean, you've got a lot of folk that think it's disgusting. But walk around the town on a Sunday afternoon and you've never seen so many people with smiles on their faces. And then there's the old model villages. All model models now. All doing very nicely, thank you very much. Me take Karen's brother over at Bestwood, doing exactly the same thing as his grandfather was doing, only he's pretending. Or recreating, as they say. And they're very impressive, these coal faces. Folk are flocking in from all over the place to put their helmets on and climb into a cage and have their photographs taken, working the seams. They reckon they're going to have to sink another shaft soon to cope with the demand. It's exciting. I mean, we're only in the early days here, but you can see it's going to take off. Slowly but surely, the village is changing. All the little ones are learning lines to spout off to visitors at the weekend. And Val and his boys are working their socks off at the old pit site and slurry pits for a special Miss Longy attraction. And that's going to be a choke of that. The brass band playing as Byron walks his last along the shoreline, spouting those words. If thou regrettest thy youth, why live? The land of honourable death is here. Up to the field and give away thy breath. Of course, that wouldn't be me doing that if I attempted to stay for another year. Oh, no. That would be someone they hired in just for that particular site. I mean, there's a good chance that you might get to double up on another attraction or something. But basically, it's a pretty menial kind of job. Mind you, there's quite a few of those around here, to be honest. Menial jobs. And I'm not fooling myself. I mean, I may be one of the most romantic figures in history this week, but before you know it, I'll just be one of the lads again. I'll probably end up back with Johnny.
One Shelley special with extra pepperoni.
Yes. Delivering pizzas for Don Juan. Deep pan.
So we'll go no more roving, so late into the night. Though the heart is still as loving, and the moon is still as bright. For the sun has been.
For Christ's sake, Brian, this is meant to be bloody Greece. Of course the daffs are going to have to go.
To bring and love itself at rest. Yet we'll go no more a-roving by the light of the moon.
Don Juan Deep Pan was performed by Mark Whiteley and produced by John Shaw for BBC Radio Nottingham.